Hey, gearheads, and welcome to Garage Talk, a discussion about all things automotive. I'm Corey.
And I'm Matt. And each week, this podcast will serve as a catalyst for discussion on all sorts of topics that grind our gears, rev our engines, or just need a bit more conversation.
And on this week's episode, as we are at the precipice of summer, I figured we could talk about a famous or infamous pastime of summer, especially here in Texas, the road trip.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've talked about road trips on this podcast before. In fact, last summer, kind of like we had an idea or something that we're going with. But last year we talked about road trip music, road trip games,
tips, snacks.
Snacks, tips and tricks that we like to do as fathers and, you know, with little ones in the backseat to, you know, keep the craziness
still
to,
waiting on the
to a minimum.
Still waiting on the Biggs brand sunflower seed sponsorship.
That would be nice, right? So, yeah, I'm actually looking right here. We've got episodes 19 and 20 of season one. We did a two-part episode covering road trips last summer. And so we're not going to rehash what we talked about last summer, but I myself just got back from a insane one day whirlwind of a road trip.
Uh-huh. What time did you leave that morning?
So for those of you who have been following us on YouTube, I went down to the media preview of the Houston Auto Show in Houston, Texas. And for anyone who is familiar with the geography of Texas, Tyler, Texas, where we are based,
right,
and Houston, Texas, depending on traffic, are a good 3.5 to 4.5 hours away from one another.
Right.
So, yes, I left as near as makes no difference, 4:30 in the morning.
Golly.
To be outside of the Houston Astrodome is how I like to view it, right at around 8:30 that morning for the media preview of the Houston Auto Show. And let me tell you, folks, we have been away from car shows for far too long.
Agreed.
I was addicted to the smell of the show carpet that they were. I was like, man, I miss this smell. And it's just convention center carpet. Like,
right.
Any convention you go to, it's the same carpet. But, my brain associates that with car shows. And so it was just awesome to be back in the presence of multiple vehicles set under a roof for our viewing pleasure, for us to be able to sit in, push buttons on, get hands on with, especially vehicles that there were two that I hadn't even seen yet. Actually, there were more than two that I hadn't even seen yet in person.
Several, yeah. And so, and several of which you'd have been much more comfortable coming home in,
yes,
than what you went and came back in.
So let's see. The Ford Bronco, the actual Ford Bronco, not the Bronco Sport, I got to see three examples, two Badlands editions, and then one heavily modified Outer Banks edition, which that preview is up on our YouTube channel. I got to see the Jeep Grand Wagoneer and Wagoneer, which... Yeah. Okay, I'm not exactly sure when build and price went up on the Jeep website, but I know it's up today because I went and I built and priced my Wagoneer. That's the quote-unquote cheap one for the quote-unquote masses.
Yeah.
I am typically prone to max out and make one as expensive as possible. I went with the Series 2, which is Series 3 is the top of the line of the Wagoneers. So, again, I went with the lowest grade that I could on the lowest grade version, and I still got that thing up to $82,000. I don't know how many of you, our listeners, like going on build and price and figuring out what a rig costs, but I was blown away at how quickly that went from $69,000 to $82,000 with, like, just a few options.
Like, golly.
Yeah, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
So, it was really cool to get to sit in and see those again in person. Funny experience, I got to see the Grand Wagoneer concept vehicle, the one-off concept vehicle.
Right.
The one-off concept vehicle very early in its media circuit. And I remember sitting in it, and it was very much a one-off concept. Like
half the stuff didn't work.
Not so much that. So they had built-in like show modes. They had a remote control that they can control the screens and different displays that they could do with it. But some of the fit and finish would not withstand.
Left a little to be desired.
Yes. I remember thinking I broke it at one point. So we'll just leave it at that. It was around the little privacy sunshades for the middle row occupants. I went to lift it up, and it was just the filler part on top. There was no shade underneath. Mer. So I gently put that back and pretended nothing happened. That's exactly how I felt, but I looked over both my shoulders to make sure nobody saw it. But that was the concept. The ones at the Houston Auto Show, aside from a few power functions not working because of them being in an accessory mode or them being shut down at the exact time that I was messing around with them. All that aside, I'm very much looking forward to, we were promised or hinted at that you and I will get to drive those in October. Oh. So looking forward to that. Stay tuned to GT Garage Talk, especially on YouTube, where we will have some reviews and how they handle the dirt.
Yeah.
Because that is going to be some fun stuff.
Should be a lot of fun. So for the sake of giggles, yep. And I won't spend a whole lot of time on it.
You're on building price again, aren't you?
I am. The Series 2 Wagoneer, so the base, two-wheel drive, $68,590.
Yep.
The base, which is an XLT Max. I had to click on the Max because it's the long one.
Well, actually, you don't because it's in line with the non-Max.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of in between the two. There's a little more behind the third row occupancy, but it's a tweener, I would say.
Well, then the regular XL STX, which is going to be bottom of the barrel. It's
Expedition.
The one that, Expedition. That's the one that all the school districts would buy because there's no features but a third row. $49,000.
So,
$5 away from $50,000.
What's an XLT though?
XLT 52,810.
Yeah.
Limited at 61.
See, I think maybe the XLT or the Limited is more in line with that Series 2.
I think there is
a Series 1 to be announced or to roll out because
maybe a 23 model or something.
I think they're kind of starting high level, especially with the current crisis going on with the chip shortage and the shortage of vehicles. I don't know if you've driven around some dealerships lately. They're starting to look pretty sad.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Our local Toyota dealership has them lined up, not in the parking spots, but taking up as much street real estate as possible, lined up around the outside of the parking lot, and there's nothing on the inside.
There's nothing on the inside. I saw somebody post on the Tyler area rants and raves or whatever, and somebody asked if they had closed because of how bare the parking lot is.
The dealership where I bought my Chevy Cruze had one new vehicle out front.
Wow.
One, and it was a Spark. And that's not a great one vehicle to have.
I wonder what kind of chaos it's going to create when these rigs start rolling back in. Well, and even the chaos now because
Ford is still building them. They're just leaving out the step of the microchip, and they're piling up on all kinds of parking lots around the Dearborn area. So,
it's crazy.
I don't know if they're all in Dearborn, but you get the point.
Yeah.
So I'm actually working on pulling some strings to get an interview with someone in the Houston Area Dealers Association to give us an inside scoop. So stay tuned to future episodes where we will dig into that more specifically. But I will say, I was checking out dealerships on this road trip down to Houston just to see if it was more than just the Tyler market. I will say the Houston area dealerships did have more, but they probably had more to begin with. And the way dealer allocations work, you got to send them where
there's people,
where there's volume.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It stinks for these low volume outskirt country dealers.
Yeah.
But you got to think of the big picture. So, we're looking to bring you a little inside scoop as to the dealer network and how that's working. But that's not what this episode is about. We want to be a little more uplifting and charming and jovial in this episode. And so on this road trip, I was compiling a list of things that popped into my mind that I wanted to get your opinion on, Matt, and I wanted to get your opinion on listeners that maybe you do on road trips, maybe you never even crossed your mind on road trips. But the first thing on my list is 77,777. 770, I said that right. Yeah. I just want to make sure I got all the sevens in there. It's a lucky number seven. I felt like I hit the jackpot. And that was my odometer reading that I just happened to glance down at.
Nice.
Coming back through Palestine. And yes, it's pronounced Palestine, Texas. On my way back from Houston on this trip, I looked down and sure enough, all sevens. And I was able to actually snap a picture of it. I don't know if anyone else gets super excited about mileage milestones.
Yeah.
That was a fun one for me.
That was a fun one.
I probably should have found a way to buy a lotto ticket at that moment. find something to invest in at that moment. That's my lucky moment. Lucky number seven across the board. But that got me to thinking a little bit. So I've made no bones about it on this podcast. I have a 2013 Chevy Cruze Eco manual. And I bought that vehicle because I was doing a lot of miles on Texas roads, mostly Texas highways. So I wanted something that could eat up the miles without drinking the gas.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go hybrid route. I didn't want to, the EVs weren't really on my radar at that point in life either.
Right. And, Prius or Insight, and that was kind of right. What you got.
And so I wanted something efficient. I wanted something economical. And me being the GM fanboy that I am and having owned, Silverado, Equinox, Camaro.
Too many.
Now Cruze, four Chevys back to back to back to back. Naturally, I gravitated towards the Cruze Eco. And I'm very glad I did because, one, it is a great handling car. It's very fun to drive around the twisties. I got the manual, which also made it very fun to drive, and it made it very efficient. I did some math after hitting my lucky 77,777, and my lifetime MPG, as I am very fast approaching 80,000 miles on this rig, is, as near as makes no difference, 40 MPG.
Wow.
And that is city driving, that is sitting in the preschool daycare pickup line with the engine running, that is going through drive-thrus, that is everyday living. Granted, my commute is a short 3 miles, but yes, I've also taken this on road trips, I've driven this around town. I've put 80,000 miles on it since I bought it in 13. And only working 3 miles away from work.
Right.
So you do the math as to, you know, exactly how heavy I've been involved in city traffic. But it's seen Dallas traffic. It's seen Houston traffic.
Yeah.
It's seen College Station traffic leaving a football game. So, I've seen very low MPGs on this. But to get a lifetime MPG of 40 miles per gallon and something that was highway rated for 42, I'd say is pretty impressive.
That's pretty good.
And when it seems like everybody, including yours truly, is talking about EVs being the future,
Nah.
We were on to something with this eco formula that Chevy was working that I'm able to get this kind of result. And judging on the price of fuel at this moment in Tyler, Texas, it essentially cost me 7 cents per mile on this trip, which our good friends over at Brake Check verified that's about what they got in the Mustang Mach-E that they tested on their YouTube channel.
Yep.
So I'm sorry, but the benefits need to be more.
Oh yeah, much better
than that.
Well, so my folks owned for a little while an 02 Chevy Impala, and it was loaded to the gills. It was the pretty body style, the real pointed, sharp shape before they went to the big bubble, goofy-looking car. Loved that car. Super comfortable. Like I said, it was loaded out. Had the 3.8 V6, so it would move. Sunroof, all the fancy fixings, leather.
I remember that car.
You could set the cruise in that car with four adults in it at 77 miles an hour and get 30-plus miles to the gallon all day long.
I just I feel like we've got our sights set a little too heavy into the EV push. And, you know, once one automaker said, we're going to do it, and then another one said, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it, and you've got, not to get political, but government backing on stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, wait a minute. We were onto something so good. It was working. We were getting there with the technology that we currently have.
Yeah.
Why are
direct injection, turbocharging? Like, there's way more efficient ways of doing what we're doing already.
Even plug-in hybrids. Like, I don't understand how we completely skipped that step. Plug-in hybrids. We did not sample it. It was available to us. I'm hoping to get at least a week in one as a press vehicle delivered to us. But the second fastest Toyota in Toyota's lineup, right behind the Supra that we loved so much, go check out our review on YouTube, is a Toyota RAV4 Prime plug-in hybrid. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And we missed the ball. I am sorry to you, our listeners. I'm sorry to you, Matt, that we drove the ID4 instead of that, or not comparing them back-to-back as we should have.
Well, and right behind that, the Toyota Sienna.
Right.
600 miles of range in that thing, and they are across the board hybrids now.
Right, right. So, I think we jumped too quickly. We pushed our chips across the table and said, we're all in.
Don't be looping me on this. I'm still hung up on the 797 horsepower, 300-foot-long burnouts.
Yes, that was quite fun. And my favorite part about that is, you watch our Supra video, is I was sure to point out those tire tread marks in the Supra video from your early morning in the Charger Hellcat wide body.
I was doing everybody the favor of warming the tires.
Yes, you did as you were told. We have the proof. So, some might accuse me of doing what you and I are familiar with, and that's the term hypermiling. And I've done a fair amount of hypermiling because, I'm not going to lie, there's a screen on my instrument cluster that tells me my MPG for the last 50 miles.
Right.
And at one point before disconnecting the battery, I had it at 50.1. So that tells me that for a 50-mile stretch, at some point in my ownership of this vehicle, I went 50 miles without using a full gallon of gas. That's insane. That is insane that a vehicle that could seat 4.5 people.
4.25.
could move like that and be that efficient.
Right.
And I don't know if you've looked in my car lately. I've got a car seat. I've got tons of stuff under in the back floorboard. I have treated all my vehicles up until this one with kid gloves. Poor Nelly, she's gotten the short end of the stick. There's tons of junk in the trunk. And there's just me hypermiling that is like someone normally highway driving it. In that I'm not doing everything I can to get the best fuel economy out of it, and I'm still getting amazing numbers. But yes, I have hypermiled it just to see if I could get that number up higher and higher, because it does track your best score, and I'm closing in on 50 miles again, and it's fun, and I don't want to disconnect the battery again, because every time you do it, it wipes your best score, and it's like a video game. I had to do better, especially because it's before they started putting color screens in the dash, so it's like an old school green screen video game. So I've got to come up with better things to do. I know, I get it, Matt. Quit shaking your head at me. So
poor Tucker's gonna be all about this hyper mileage stuff and never get to experience the beauty that is 300 foot long burnouts.
Oh no, that's not gonna be the case. I don't want to incriminate myself with his mommy, but that won't exactly be the case. And I'll just leave it at that.
Too much fun. I have to admit, I have done a bit of hypermiling myself. Although, all but maybe two of my rigs have not been especially fuel efficient anyway, including the one that I have now, the Impreza.
Well, and what you're doing to it isn't helping either.
Well, right, yeah. The more things you know, the more arrow you cut off of it and the more things you put on it to make it taller kind of hinder that. Yep. But I think the last trip to Dallas that I took, I was getting about 24-ish.
Yeah.
Which, for an all-wheel drive, horizontally opposed 2.5-liter four-cylinder on the highway, not treating it very nice because I'm in Dallas traffic. Not awful. Yeah. I would be surprised if that thing ever saw 30.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of the beast. But one thing I did do on that trip to Dallas,
yeah,
in both directions,
yeah,
was stop at Bucky's.
Oh, yes. So if you are not blessed to live in the great state of Texas or one of
shame on you.
One of the lucky bonus states that Bucky's has added to their list of operating venues, states.
Oh, I did want to clarify for our New England listeners.
Yeah.
It is Houston, not Houston.
Yes, Houston.
You mentioned Palestine, not yes. Palestine. I just wanted to clarify. You know, we're all on the same page now. Go ahead.
Houston, like Sam Houston.
Right.
After whom it is named. I know it's not whom, but I just wanted to, since we're correcting people in grammar.
So back to Bucky's.
Yes. So, yeah, Bucky's. They have started expanding outside of Texas, and I believe Alabama, Florida, maybe on that list.
Something
but
like that.
They are an insane mega convenience store.
It's the size of a Supercenter Walmart.
Practically.
And it's a gas station.
Yeah, it feels like it. I feel like they've got 100 pumps, maybe.
Probably.
18-wheelers aren't allowed, so you know that it's all consumer traffic like us.
They have enough pumps that if you go inside to pay, you have to tell them what pump you're at, and they will actually pull it up on a screen, yep, a picture of your car sitting at that pump to make sure that that's your car at that pump.
Yes. So on my trip both ways to and from Houston, I stopped at the one in Madisonville. So all my food,
oh, yeah,
all my nourishment that day came from Bucky's. And I saw a very rare sight because it was something like 6:37 in the morning, which is late enough that I did not expect this. Empty. I don't know. Have you ever seen an empty Bucky's?
I've never seen an empty Bucky's.
It's an eerie feeling if you've ever been to one.
You feel like the rapture happened. And
where is everybody? This place should be hopping. Let me tell you, on my way back, it was. So, yeah. But on my Instagram, I posted a picture just because I was like, I don't think any Texan would truly believe that this is a possibility. But because, like I said, I got up at 4:30 in the morning to hit the road. I got some coffee. I got some kolaches and I hit the road. And yeah, empty Bucky's. Very weird feeling.
Yeah.
But they have an entire wall of Bucky's branded road trip snacks.
Oh, yeah.
That is literally what they are. And in fact, they had a short gondola opposite that wall of nothing but trail mix. And the one I picked out was a peanut butter mix. And oh my goodness, oh, yeah, it was so good. Peanut butter chips, basically Reese's peanut butter cups, basically Reese's Pieces, chocolate
goodness
covered pretzels, and peanuts all in there. And it was so good.
And it's healthy for you because it's trail mix, right?
Yes. Yes, we will go with that. I did look at the back of the label and I said, why am I looking? No, like, stop it, Corey.
Yeah.
And so I ignored the numbers that I saw and moved on.
So when I stopped on my way over, I hadn't had breakfast yet. I went over and saw the Broncos, the same two Broncos that you saw, or yep, two of the three. And I saw them in Dallas the weekend before you went. It's been a couple of weeks now. I got the little protein cup, I guess is basically what it is, but it had a couple of different kinds of cheeses and pretzels in the top of it. Super inexpensive, and I barely finished it because of how much it was. And then I got a drink to go with it and some sunflower seeds and some Biggs brand Taco Bell flavored Taco Supreme.
You are all over these Biggs sunflower seeds.
Someday.
Sponsorship waiting to happen here, guys.
I will paint my car purple for Biggs.
Oh, boy. So another thing that they're known for, Buc-ee's, that is their beaver nuggets.
Yep.
And my wife kind of got on to me, but then she tried one. I did not get the original beaver nugget, which comes in the clear package, just like most all their other stuff. I got the white cheddar beaver nuggets.
See?
And oh my goodness. Basically, it's a Texas-branded Cheeto Puff, and it was covered in white cheddar to the point where there's white cheddar all in my car now from eating and driving. There was no clean fingers coming out of the bag on that one. It was that good. And they have other savory flavors as well. And I was like, more beaver nuggets? What?
Well, the originals are like corn pops mixed with caramel corn.
Yes,
like,
to the point that Texas Humor, a good friend of ours, JB Salceda, started Texas Humor. If you don't follow them on Instagram and every other social platform, you ought to, even if you ain't from Texas. But they had a picture of basically a bowl of cereal, but instead of cereal, it was beaver nuggets and milk with the caption, "Why have I not thought of this before?" And I was like, you know what? Why haven't you?
Yeah,
come
no
on,
kidding.
JB. But yeah, it was, that is a very accurate description of the beaver nugget. And man, there's so much good that you can get at Buc-ee's. In fact, my mother-in-law did her entire Christmas gift shopping at Buc-ee's one year. So,
literally everything from umbrellas to
cast iron trays
that fit over 55-gallon trash cans that you can eat your crawfish on and suck the heads if you do that thing and throw the rest of it away.
Mud bugs, if that's what you call them.
if you're naked, they have everything you could possibly need to clothe
yourself.
Every
article of clothing. Yes, yes. Buc-ee's, awesome state institution. And sponsorship's waiting. We'll gladly.
Bring it on.
Yeah. That gets me to the next part of my road trip. So after I left Buc-ee's and started getting further and further into Houston and really on my way back from weather hit. And it was that rainy, nasty gray stuff where everything looks the exact same color, like everything. And you can't tell where the lines are on the road. You can't tell whether there's a car in front of you, behind you, like just the gross stuff.
You're going to look at me really weird.
Okay.
That's some of my favorite driving.
Yeah. I can see why, especially now in your current all-wheel drive car and just some of the shenanigans.
In a 40-foot, 11-foot tall yellow school bus, that's my favorite kind. I like driving in inclement weather.
No, that's not for me, especially in Houston traffic. We'll tangent off into GPS right after this, but I did not do as she told me because I wanted to go home a certain way and she wanted to take
me
home
shame.
Another way. But we'll get into that in just a moment because,
she still bitter?
I turned directly into traffic in that kind of weather. And that got me to thinking, I'm the techie of the two of us, especially when it comes to tech in vehicles.
Right.
And my wife's car has got automatic everything. It's got the automatic high beams, automatic wipers, adaptive cruise control, lane keep. It's got all of that to the point where it practically does it all for you. My car has none of that.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it has a manual transmission. It doesn't even shift for me. About the only creature comfort it does have is cruise control. And, Bluetooth and stuff like that.
But, right.
As far as driving, all it's really got is cruise control. So here I am driving through very inclement weather in non-hospitable conditions. And it gets me to thinking, man, it would be nice to have all that stuff. But at the same point, which is your point as to why you're anti-tech, is people lean on them too much as a crutch.
Absolutely.
It got me to pay even more attention to what, you should pay attention as absolutely conditions dictate. But it just got me to thinking how more hypervigilant I was and how much I possibly used all of those assistance technology features as a crutch instead of being as vigilant as if they weren't there. And, oh, by the way, don't get over in that lane because there's a vehicle without its headlights on right there hiding right in your blind spot. So, yeah, got me to thinking about my stance a little more on technology in cars and just the awkwardness that my wife's car's got it all and I've got nothing. And I'm like, man, I took the wrong rig on this trip.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was still a fun trip. And like I said, it was a very cheap trip for me because there and back, 445 miles, one tank of gas.
Nice.
$35.
Like what, 7 gallons?
I think it was 11.
11, yeah.
Yeah. It was $35, 445 miles. Like, kid you not, I filled up right before I left, filled up right before I got home.
And nice.
Was able to really, which is why I want to keep that car for, you and I are going to be doing trips like this for a while now. And as long as she's willing to run on me, she's a very good long distance traveler. So yeah, very much.
One of us needs a truck, Corey.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it. So that takes us into the segue I was about to get into, and that is GPS. The question I have to know about you, Matt, and about you, our listeners, is do you blindly follow your GPS?
It depends on where I'm going.
Okay.
Because I have begun to get in the habit of, like, when I went to Texas Motor Speedway, by myself for the the Ford Performance Shelby event. Ford Performance and Shelby event for the GT500.
That video also up on our YouTube channel.
Most definitely, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. I plugged in the address and I hit it. The problem is, it's Dallas,
right?
So there's 87 different ways to get to the same place.
And half of them are under construction.
And yeah, if not more. And so, you know, I'd be cooking along, and you'd get directions, like the transition. Any of our DFW friends, listeners, I'm sure will agree with me. I took I-20 instead of peeling off on 80 to go 635 and around. I took 20 going over, and where 20 and 635 to come together, and then 45 splits off right after that,
right,
you literally have 500 yards to get across six lanes of traffic to stay on 635.
Whoever came up with that idea is a moron.
So if you're not paying attention and listening to the GPS, or if you're listening to the GPS too closely, you can end up going the wrong way.
Right.
In a hurry. So,
and the way Dallas works is if you miss an exit and you take the next one, you're going the complete opposite direction.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of more like Houston, where you take the next exit and you're going a slightly different but similar direction.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I start
the Houston Dallas war right here on the GT Garage Talk podcast. There's a strong rivalry there on Team Houston, but side note.
Yeah. You know. If I'm going a place that I'm not familiar with, I'll put the GPS in, and for the most part, I'm listening to the GPS.
Yeah.
If it doesn't feel right, it doesn't look right, I'm looking ahead at the directions to figure out why it's telling me to go that way. So it's not quite a blind follow, but it would take me a little bit to figure out how to get where I'm going without it.
Yeah.
So
how's this for a segue? It's going to tie what we were just talking about to what we are currently talking about in technology and vehicles and GPS. So I, for the most part, listen to my GPS as dictated and put it on my phone. And my phone, iPhone 12 Pro Max, is the same size as the infotainment screen in the dash of my car.
So the center stack,
yes,
infotainment, not even the one behind the steering wheel, but
the main screen in my car, and it's inset because it's before they got all glossy and super high definition and all that stuff. So it's inset, so the sun doesn't completely wash it out, and it is the perfect resting place for my phone for GPS on road trips.
Yeah.
And I will say that my GPS of choice for this particular trip was Waze. I don't know if you are Waze, if you're a Google Maps, if you're Apple Maps, if you still print out MapQuest. I don't know. Sound off. What GPS method do you use to navigate? I've got a funny story about all three of them. Well, the big two anyway, that I'll get to in a moment. But for this trip, I was using Waze, and she does a really good, I say she because I've got it in the standard female voice. I've had Batman for a while, but when you do all those fun voices on Waze, they don't tell you the street names, and I've got to hear the street names.
Oh, yeah.
So I use one of the pre-programmed names. And for the most part, yes, I blindly follow them, except for, like you said, if I know the area and I know the way. And so typically from Tyler to Houston, Houston to Tyler, there are two main routes that most people take. One is going through Buffalo and hitting 45 and going south.
Yep.
That is my preferred method because when you get to 45, you hit the cruise control, set it, forget it, and go.
Yep.
The other way is through Lufkin and Crockett and all the small towns in between. Yep.
69 to 59.
Yeah, and speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down, speed up. And
loop.
Yeah, and get stuck behind someone slow and you can't get around them. Yeah. And just, I don't prefer that. That is my dad's preferred method of going to and from Houston, not mine. And on my way back, driving through the yuck that was the grayness that you love so much to drive through, I realized very quickly she was trying to take me home the way I hated. I was like, no way am I driving through this yuck on a route I despise.
Right.
I want to get on the open road and go. And so sure enough, I veer off because I'm watching the street signs, you know, the way we used to. So we know where to go.
Yeah. The whole reason they're up there.
Right. And I peel off to go 45 north immediately into traffic. And it was that way until we got north of downtown Houston. And then it opened up and all was mostly well again. But it got me to thinking, like, how many of us think we know better and try and best the GPS? Because what she was trying to do was keep me out of that traffic.
Right.
Regardless of the fact that I did not want to go that way, she was taking me the most efficient route. And me and my, to say I'm a stubborn redhead is an understatement. I was like, no way am I going that way. No. That's actually the way you and I came back in my Camaro when we went down there for a baseball game. And
okay.
Oh,
yeah.
That I didn't think we were ever going to get home. I was so tired, too.
The stretch from Lufkin to Tyler is like forever.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the same from Terrell to the 69 exit on I-20.
That's true.
There is nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing.
That Camaro definitely made those stretches feel shorter. Shorter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to say that triple digits were involved.
So referencing the GPS.
Yes.
The ETA, mm-hmm. projected ETA.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me.
That is the best game to play.
Okay.
Although Waze does too good of a job calculating, I think, for your driving behavior, the Waze version is really hard to beat. Google, I have found, is fairly easy. Apple is fairly easy to beat. But yes, that is absolutely a fun game I like to play.
Yeah.
Is I make a mental note when we are leaving, when we're setting out, all right, here's the time.
Yep.
I'm going to beat it.
Okay.
How much can I beat it by?
How many times? You put the info in, you hit go, you're within 5 minutes of leaving the house, right? And you've set it, and it gives you a time like 5 p.m. straight up, right? And it's noon,
right?
You know, wherever you're going, 5 p.m. straight up. And you're going, and you know you're going to have to stop somewhere. But the goal is still to beat that 5 p.m. So even with a stop, right? And then you get back in the car and it's like ETA 5:13. Crap. Now I got to, you know.
Now I got to make up 13 minutes. Don't tell the wife. Hammer down.
Yep. So, basically.
Yes. I'm ashamed to admit that it's because I left at 4:30 in the morning. I cannot remember the original ETA. It was somewhere in the 8:30 realm.
Right.
And I think even with my Bucky stop, I was pretty close to my original ETA. But again, I left at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So that has a lot to do with it. But yes, that is absolutely a game I love to play, is beat the GPS.
Well, everything in Texas is measured in minutes, not miles.
Yes.
So, you know, across town is 20 minutes, right?
Yes.
It's not 7 miles. It's 20 minutes.
Dallas is 2 hours.
Dallas is four hours. Houston is four.
Austin's five. Yeah. San Antonio, I think, is eight, I want to say.
No,
it seems too long.
No, it's only like 5.5.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
It's, yeah. Because it basically you go to Austin, but before you get to Austin, you turn left.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I love the 95 miles that I can legally drive around Austin now. A cop may or may not have been beside me doing 95.
Hey.
I felt no shame.
You know what? The beach.
Yeah.
It's 4.5 hours away.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Well, depending on what time you leave, because again, Houston traffic.
Agreed. But yeah, so everything in Texas is measured in minutes.
So one last thing on this whole GPS subject. When Apple reinvented and went whole hog into their own Apple Maps, when they launched Apple Maps and they were no longer leaning on, I believe it was Google prior to that.
It was awful.
And that was the discussion. And not only am I a GM fanboy, I'm an Apple fanboy. And so I was trying to get to the, I'm blanking on it. It's not Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop.
Okay.
Why did I blink on that? I was trying to get to a Bass Pro Shop in Carrollton.
Around that, yeah.
Yeah, I believe its official address is Carrollton, but the DFW area. Plugged it in and went. It tried taking me on restricted access roads inside of the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport multiple times.
What?
I have multiple people in the vehicle. We were in the minivan at the time because the trip was we were taking a bunch of people. We were going to try and go to Six Flags. That didn't work out, so we went to Bass Pro instead. Talk about a Texas day. But, yes, it told me multiple times. It tried to get me to do a U-turn to go back on that restricted access road.
What the heck?
Inside of the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. And I don't know if you've ever been to DFW Airport. It's a mess.
It's massive.
Yeah.
Once you're out of the car, it's not so bad, but
yeah,
in the vehicle around that airport is madness.
So that being said, it was widely known that Apple Maps were garbage at that point in time. So I was like, all right, Google. That's who Apple was using. I'll pull up Google. Same thing. What? I was like, why do I want to take? And the funny thing is, that Bass Pro isn't but like 5 minutes, maybe, from that airport. I don't know why they were dead set on taking me on a restricted access road through the airport.
Had to save you that 37 seconds. Oh,
but I ended up just saying, you know what? Forget you GPS. I drove far enough away from the airport that it recalculating.
Oh, my goodness.
To the point where she gave me a new route. Because I was like, I do not want to go to jail. Please do not. So yes, that was something.
Make a right hand turn and a 747 sets down on the tarmac next to you.
That'd be a sight to see.
Woo!
Kids in the back seat wake up. Where are we? Go back to sleep. This doesn't involve you. So
oh my.
Yes. The next thing on my list, talking about car games and activities that we do, leapfrogging. So there was a particular Toyota Tacoma. It was red. It had a green tarp covering something in the bed that I leapfrogged. I don't know how past tense that. Leapfrogged with for I don't know how many miles. Before and after my Bucky stop. So apparently they stopped along with me. There were multiple vehicles that I, including the one I parked next to at Bucky's, that I had been leapfrogging with since Houston. And check it out on the map. Bucky's Madisonville, downtown Houston. You do the math.
Yeah.
But yeah, multiple vehicles were playing leapfrog with me and I with them all the way to the Buc-ee's in Madisonville and some thereafter. But what gets me is I've already alluded to it on this episode. I'm a cruise control type of guy, especially in my wife's adaptive cruise.
Right.
I like to sit it, go, and get around the slow pokes when necessary. And oh my goodness, they were out in force Wednesday. And I can't tell you how many. The one that gets me is, again, I'm on cruise control. When they go around you and you immediately start slowing down to the point, I have to go around you on cruise control.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to get in front of me, keep going.
Yep.
So, yes. Yep. Do y'all leapfrog? And next point, do you talk to the vehicles from your vehicle? Do you shout out them? Do you call them out by car, by color, by specific model, by green tarp Tacoma? Like, do you make up nicknames for them? What do you do? Do you do it, Matt?
There might occasionally be some expletives in the discussion when talking about the, it depends on if the wife and kids are awake. I'm glad you clarified, because my immediate thought when you put on here talking to other cars, I was like, okay, like when a semi comes around you, you flash your headlights to let them know that they can come over in front of you and that type of like the way that cars communicate.
Or the nice flash to let somebody know they're coming up on a cop going the opposite direction.
Which is illegal. So you don't do that ever.
No, no. I'm referencing what I've seen other people
right,
do.
Right, yes, exactly. So I'm glad you clarified, because, yes, usually the word is idiot or stupid or why did you do that or...
So I'm laughing so much because I've had people be able to tell that I'm animated behind the wheel, perhaps at them, perhaps for another situation, that I've ended up at the same location with them before. And it's like, I'm going to park around the other side of Buc-ee's today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I may or may not get animated behind the wheel. And if I ever get animated at you, I like this as a very nice generic term. If I ever get animated at you when you're driving around me, take no offense. Get out of my way. If you just get out of my way, it's all good.
It's as simple as, you know, tapping the brake pedal, letting me come on by.
Yep.
And then don't pass me ever again.
Yep, yep. I can say that I have once taken defensive driving with a former Texas Highway Patrolman who said, and I'm quoting him as fact on this one and will till the day I die, that if you are driving in the left lane and you get passed by someone going with the flow of traffic in the right-hand lane,
right,
you get the ticket as the slowpoke in the fast lane. And I sure hope that's true, because every time I do that to somebody, I'm like, oh, I wish a cop was here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've already kind of touched on games both last year and with the GPS, beat the GPS
right,
game.
Right, yeah.
So my last thing on here is more or less just for fun, because it did not start on my road trip until in between Palestine and Frankston, Texas.
Okay.
On my way home.
Please define the term, because I'm a little concerned.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. We're closing out the show on this, so let me build to it. I had been listening to a podcast. You know, I'm a podcaster, so therefore I listen to podcasts too.
Thanks for listening.
You can't do that to me. I'm taking that board.
I sure can. There's a mute button over here. I was just, you know.
So,
okay, go ahead.
Yes. I was listening to podcasts for a majority of my trip.
Yeah.
On my way back, I'd had enough. I was closing in on 445 miles. I needed some music. So I put on my running playlist. I'm also a runner, which is mostly modern day top 40 pop, rock, and this, that, and the other songs.
Right. The fact that you're a runner also explains some other quirks.
Yes. Yes.
I'll be nice.
Yeah. I will say my go-to, my jam right now, if you will.
Oh, boy.
And you will, is The Weeknd.
Oh my!
The weekend. What is it? Brighter lights, bright lights. I'm not gonna pull it up right now. That song that's played practically everywhere now. It was like on every Billboard Music Award commercial, and I was like, man, that is my jam right now. Turn it up. It's so classically nostalgic to the 80s that it has me rotating to my 80s pop playlist.
Right.
That was some good music. I don't care who you are. That was some good music. But all that, final point, car dancing. Do you jam? Do you rock out? Do you get down? Do you cut a rug as you're driving in the car?
So,
because when I got to my playlist, I turned the volume up.
Right.
I had to do something just to keep my wits about me.
Uh-huh.
It had been a long day, Matt.
Yeah.
I was all alone.
Yeah.
I needed something.
All alone.
I cranked it up. I had some fun.
Uh-huh.
Do you dance in the car?
So,
I mean, there's only so much you can do, and let's face it, this white boy ain't got no rhythm.
I'm a musician, so my tendency is to drum or, you know, guitar solo, air guitar solo, whatever. My wife tends to shut me down very quickly if at all dancing comes up in the process of things. So.
So you would want to, you just aren't allowed to.
We were at a wedding Saturday night.
Okay.
I got to dance for one song. In the hour that they were playing music, I got to dance for one song. And it was the slow song.
Oh.
And she kept moving us back to the place that we started at instead of us, you know, easing around the dance floor, yeah. You know, moving yeah. this way. No. So as far as dancing goes, in a car or otherwise, I do not.
I do. No surprise here. And Tucker does as well. Although you can turn music on at any point in the day. We've got Apple HomePods throughout the house. Tucker will start dancing. So
nice.
We're a dancing family. We don't do it well, but we do it a lot. And with that, we will ask you, the Gearheads listeners, any of the topics that we've covered today, do you get excited about milestone mileage in your car? Do you hypermile? What is your go-to road trip stop? Ours is Buc-ee's. We're here in Texas. What are your go-to road trip snacks? Tech in cars? No tech in cars? Does it help on road trips? Hurt on road trips? Do you blindly follow GPS? What's your GPS of choice? We want to know all these things about you, our listeners, because we ask our guests most of these questions every time we've got someone on. So now we want to hear from you. Sound off. Go to gtgaragetalk.com. There you've got links to all of our social media. Comment on the links on social media for this episode. Let us know the answers to all those questions. Keep up with us on YouTube. We've got all kinds of reviews coming out. Until next time, bye.